And Tommy Little. Boom, 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 boom. This is Carrie and Tommy.
Yes, welcome to it for your Thursday afternoon. Ooh. How are we doing,
Happy
guys?
Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. Always good to start the show with a present.
Who's present? For what?
For me.
Why have you got a present? From who? You just gave yourself a present.
No, Georgia just came in and gave it to me.
Oh.
Someone dropped it off. Oh, that's so cute.
What is it? Show me the mug.
Best dad ever.
Best dad.
Yeah.
From?
This is from my biological son, and then I got a card.
It's not from your. Have a biological
son. To my dad, I do. Oh, to my dad, congratulations on being number one. Oh, ratings came out today, and we are number one around the country. That's great. Thank you. Not only on radio, but also as my dad. That's so cute. I listened to the show the other day, and just want to say thank you for helping out all those other parents. I'm so lucky to have the only faultless parent. Hopefully,
is it your kid too? How's he writing?
Hey, yeah, because I've taught him. Sorry, mate. Some of us are good at teaching our kids stuff. Hopefully I can meet you again soon. And also you don't have to talk about it with Carrie if you don't want to. I agree. Love your son. So isn't that what a way to start the show?
But thank you to all who are listening.
Does he sign it? Does he sign it? Your son.
Results today. Oh, don't pretend to tear up. Okay, we've got a big show ahead. What are you emotional about? Going number one or about your pretend kid?
No, it's my first. It's my
first card you've ever got from your kid.
Thank you. The tissues coming in. It's just sweet. Some things in this life are just sweet.
You know, it would be sweet. 100K.
True.
There's 100K on the line.
Who cares? This is worth way more.
Time game today on the show. Good luck, everybody. But speaking of tears, we need to discuss where I cried up next.
Carrie and Tommy.
Beyonce and Miley Cyrus, that is two most wanted for your Thursday afternoon.
Just playing some of your personal collection there, Jesse.
We're doing it all thanks to Australian Natural Gas, Asavo. It's helping to keep the country running. Find out more at keepingthecountryrunning.com.au.
Beyonce's doing some very different tunes at the moment, isn't she?
I'd like it to go back to bangers, please.
You just want the single ladies.
If you're listening, Queen B, that on a separate note, yes.
She is a big fan, gets the podcast every day.
She does.
So, you know how I went to Fiji and my...
Blu-ray.
Sorry, with a famous friend. We get it.
There was something funny that happened that I've been meaning to talk to you about.
With famous people involved?
No, just me and my daughter, so no famous people involved.
Oh.
I mean, other than me. to say this story, yeah. I have to use Fifi's name. Yeah. So Phoebe, who I went on holiday with.
Is this an endorsement deal? did your manager come to you and go, hey, Carrie, Fiji have a problem. The term Blu-ray is not widely recognised.
And they
want to get some brand recognition out there. Would you go potentially with a famous friend? I know that's the only people you hang out with. And then mention them a lot on radio. Mm.
Okay, so I went.
That's not a no.
No, we just went on holiday. No kickbacks, nothing. Anyway, so we went to, she loves to have a massage everywhere. And I don't know, the reason I bring her name up.
So everywhere.
Surely there's some nooks and crannies that should be left for just your intimate lovers.
No, she, I don't know if you remember years ago, me telling you that she is a gift bought me an amazing massage as an experience.
One of those everywhere ones?
And we went and had one together. I hated it. And I didn't know how to tell her I hated it because I hate massages. And we sat there and she, being the beautiful friend she was, got us a double length one. So it went for 2 hours, not 1 hour. It went forever.
Is that just a bigger bloke?
No, it was a woman and I needed to go to the toilet, remember? And then I peed in the shower afterwards in the room because I couldn't hold on anymore. Anyway, Fast forward,
why
like
didn't you
5 years. Because in the middle of a massage, when have you ever gone, can you stop the massage?
I haven't gone for a shower in the middle of a massage.
Sorry. At the end of the massage, there was a shower.
Yeah, but you
but there was
to
no
the...
toilet in the room. There was only a shower. So I peed
in the shower.
Hang on.
I have stopped a massage to go to the bathroom.
Have you? No. Because when I'm in a massage, normal. I'm too scared to speak. I don't even tell them when they ask if they want hard or softer. I just go, because I don't want to offend in any capacity.
So you piss in their shower instead.
With running water, like, as in there was water, the shower was on. Was I didn't just use it as
you
a
weren't
toilet.
Just standing from a foot away and cocking a leg.
No. Anyway, fast forward 5 years and I've really come on board the massage. She's brought me on the massage journey, Fifi.
Really?
And
is there something different about Bure massage?
Well, this one was quite high up in a building overlooking the ocean. It was beautiful. But she had gone before me and she said, you get the special Fijian massage. It's amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
So I said, okay,
oh, that's why
I'll
it's
get
double
it.
Length.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, it's not this one. This is normal length. Anyway, it was absolutely beautiful. There were beautiful people. But I was having just a particularly tough day. And I thought I was
in your bure
in Fiji
at your massage.
Yeah. Oh, okay, you can have flat days even in paradise. You know, her
you know
mental
what,
health
you know
issues.
What,
my, what a twist!
Also, have you not heard? Have you not heard of them?
Oh my
yeah,
God.
We've worked with you, mate. We've heard of them.
You can still smile even though you're having a day where you feel blah.
Absolutely
anyway,
right.
I hate bad bure days.
Wait, but a bad bure day, better than a work day.
Better than a non-bure day. I'd say give me a bad bure day over a non-bure day any day.
So I lay down for this massage and as she started touching me.
Yeah, you're right. This day sounds shocking.
The tears started falling.
Oh, my God.
I started sobbing. But my face was in the hole, obviously. And then
off the
table.
Oh my God.
And because you can't access your face because it's in the hole, I didn't know how to wipe the tears. So everything just pulled the snot and the stuff from my eyes. And just I was looking down this little lotus flower, which I think is meant to catch your spittle as it drops in.
No, it's not. It's just meant to look nice.
No, they often put a bowl under you to catch it.
Yeah, isn't that where you put like your phone and your wallet
what are you,
and stuff?
What are you talking about?
They
Carrie,
often
have
put
you been
thing
spitting
under the mouth hole.
Have you been spitting in things?
So that if you fall asleep
you know
and you woman? Dribble, it doesn't just go on the floor.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
That's for your stuff.
If you're a masseuse, Carrie? 13, 10, 60,
Carrie,
in one of those parlours, not those parlours, the other parlours, tell me they often put something pretty under the hole, but they put in like a flower or something, so you think it's just this beautiful setting the scene. It's there just to catch the spit.
Who drools and spits?
You know, what happens when gravity, when you lay down
you know
and
woman,
everything just kind of.
You know that woman who pissed in the shower? She's also drooled in our lotus flower.
Anyway, so I had it pooling out of my nose and mouth. And I got to the point where I had to ask for a tissue. So I asked for a tissue and then I sat up and then she went, oh, because she saw my face and could see that I was sobbing.
And she went, it's Carrie Bickmore.
And then she said, oh, too hard. And I said, no. And she goes, it's okay. It's absolutely okay. It's too hard. We can go softer. And I was like, no. And then I was
and
like.
Did you say to her, have you not heard about mental health?
I didn't want to then explain my bad day or say I'm having a bad day because it just felt so ridiculous to say I'm having a bad day. So then I said, oh, okay, thank you. And so I got the rest of the massage.
Oh,
like
no.
Someone was just lightly touching me like a feather because she was too scared to make me sob again. None of it was her fault. It was just me and my mind. Anyway, as you can imagine, Evie found the whole thing a lot. I'm sobbing next to her in the double massage. She's thinking, oh, this is meant to be fun. Why is mummy crying?
And spitting in that bowl so much.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, no, why is nobody calling to back me up?
No, I just need to, Carrie, I need to say this to you honestly. No massage parlors have spit bowls.
They do. I don't think I've been to a massage parlor without a spit bowl. I mean that quite seriously. Or like towel or something that's underneath.
Yeah, but you're not meant to spit in
it. No,
them.
I don't spit in it.
It
it's
sounds
just
like
to catch
you do.
Your dribble.
You don't have to spit because you're hanging upside
because
down.
People,
it just drops in there.
No, because you can't, because people fall asleep.
I've never dribbled.
Ever in a massage.
Not once
what
ever.
What if you fall asleep?
What do you mean? I don't.
Yeah, and you're face down in that hole and your mouth, you can't swallow or anything and you just start, it starts pulling.
I don't have that carry. I'm really sorry. Producer Pippa, have you ever ruled and dribbled? Jesse, have you ever drooled and dribbled? No, you don't.
I swear.
13, 10, 60.
I swear.
Do massage parlors have spit bowls?
Or do you dribble when you get a massage?
Yeah, sure, mate. I was trying to protect you.
No, I don't care. I'm happy to speak to my people.
No, there's none. Give us a call.
13, 10, 60 is the number. Carrie and Tommy. Summertime sadness. Which is pretty apt for biggest trip to Fiji.
Is there a song called
Massage Parlor?
Is there a song called Bure Sadness?
It's Autumn Sadness.
We should point out $100,000 on the line in the time game very soon. That would make you very happy.
I was having a massage while I was on holiday. I ended up crying during the massage. I think it was, you know, just the relaxation and the touch and all the things. Anyway, I started sobbing into the hole.
Yeah,
in the,
you got it. You called it
massage,
spit
the spit hole in the massage table, which meant that everything pooled in my nose and mouth, and I was dribbling into the spit bowl underneath, which you've now said is not a spit bowl. And I'm saying to you, there is a bowl that they often put a flower in to make it look pretty, but it's there to catch if you fall asleep, you dribble. And you've
There's
said
no
that there
balls.
Is no such thing. And I've never not had a spit bowl underneath.
No, you've
Do you
never.
Think that when I poop, no, they no. know there's a little no, thing no, no, that no. says no, she no. needs a spit bowl because they've had to get the mop out after I've left.
It's not that you've never not had a spit bowl. It's that you've just spat on whatever is under the bowl.
No, I don't spit. Just to be clear,
you called it.
I don't go, and I just mean it gathers sometime. Well, sorry, the sobbing. It just was pouring out. But sometimes when you sleep, it dribbles.
Yeah,
dribble.
She's not spitting it out. She's
I'm
just not
spitting.
Holding it
I'm not. I'm not being gross or disrespectful. It just falls
what,
out.
What dribbling a pool of stuff?
I'm not
under
trying
the
to. Sometimes because your hands are stuck behind you, you can't wipe your mouth. How do you get to your mouth?
What do you mean? I don't. I just
your
don't
hands
drool.
Are on the table. How do
you
get to your mouth?
I just don't drool. I
don't you drool if, when your face is in that thing and you're face down?
No, you know the. You know what I do? I go.
I have to often go. I go to try and like swallow it, and swallowing upside down is tricky.
You're not. Why are you upside down,
Wendy?
Yes,
Wendy. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. I do. I'm sitting here trying not to laugh, but that is me.
You are a dribbler.
Yep. Not all the time, not standing upright, but when I go to have a massage, I fall asleep.
Wendy, do you know what we've just heard? Christy has called through and said she's a therapist and says the bowl underneath is an aroma bowl and they put aromas in it to make it more pleasant, which means the person after you.
No, it says she changes the aroma in the bowl for every massage.
Yeah, it means the person after you, the aroma is spit.
Wendy, have you seen those bowls I'm talking about?
I have, but not all the time. I do. Every now and then I do use the same massage lady. She just now puts paper.
Did you think the bowl was to catch a spittle, though?
I did.
Yes. Thank you, Wendy. See, I'm not insane. Yep. Thank you, Wendy. I appreciate you holding up.
But we've also just been told it's not.
And also, I just love that Wendy says, I don't dribble standing up. Give her a medal. Yeah.
G'day, Athena.
Hi, Tommy. How are you?
Yeah, very good.
Hi, Athena.
Are you a masseuse?
Hi, I'm a beauty therapist, so I mainly do facials, nails, all that sort of stuff. But I do also do like relaxation massage and lymphatic drainage massage. Mm-hmm. And nowhere I have ever worked has had a drool bowl underneath the massage bed.
Well,
have you ever worked at a bure?
No, I can't say I have.
Neither
so
have I.
So you don't. When people get massages, do you know, have you experienced, or even yourself, you getting a bit moist in the mouth?
You didn't say moist in the mouth. You said drooling.
Not really. Like, I can't say I have, like, myself, personally.
Yeah.
What's wrong with me, then? And I'm sorry to all these places, because I genuinely, I never spat in them, but I genuinely know
yes, you did.
That
you
dribble
said,
did
you
go into them a few times, and I thought that was okay. That's horrible then if this is not a thing.
Yeah, we know.
Rod. Hey, Rod.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Good, Rod. I'm a bit despondent.
Well, I've got a story where it was the opposite way around for me. I was actually the spit receiver.
Oh.
I was getting a massage from a therapist that obviously had a cold and was sniffing the whole time. And then when they're up on my back giving me the massage, I could feel drips going on my back. Massaging.
Oh,
that's disgusting. Disgusting. Did they massage it then in as if it was oil they were dropping on you?
Yeah, it was an oil massage, so it just kind of mixed in with everything, I guess. And...
Rod, in your mind, were you going, I should say something?
Well, ask him to put his finger down.
It crossed my mind, and then I just thought, oh, don't worry about it.
Rod, when you were on your front with your head in the spit hole, did you notice a spit bowl?
No.
Rod. So, thought Rod was going to have my back.
No,
he just got spit on his back.
Yes, that's very true.
He didn't have my back. Carrie
and Tommy. For your Thursday afternoon, it's Carrie and Tommy. $100,000 still to come this afternoon. But right now.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
No.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Oh, that makes me so cross.
When there's something in your life that you really like, you say thank you.
Thank you.
But if there's something going on that can take a hike, you say no thank you.
No thank you.
No thank you.
Carrie and Tommy's thank you or no thank you.
Kick it off, boss.
I'd like to start with a thank you.
Oh, yeah? What do you got?
I want to say a big thank you with an F, not a TH if you're new to our show. A big thank you to my beautiful daughter, who has given me a new nickname.
Oh, thank you.
I've never really had a nickname. Like, you've had the weapon, obviously, that you called yourself, but that's fine.
Yes.
Yes, I've never, other than Bickers or, that's all I can think of.
Which one?
What are you thinking, face. Eli? Oh, no, yeah, my stepdad used to call me Faceache because he said looking at me made his face.
Faceache is so good.
But so I've always called my daughter Adelaide a little squishmallow because they're little toys that are just squishy and delicious, and she's like so squishy and delicious. But she's taken to whenever I'm in the house naked or on holiday in bathers, she just holds onto my ass as we go anywhere and squishes it and says it's wobbly like jelly. And she says, you're my little squishmallow. So now my new nickname is Squishmallow. So we call each other Squishmallow. It's so endearing. No, I love
Carrie.
It. I love it. And sometimes she rolls my tummy around as well and says, oh, it's so squishy. And I'm like, oh.
So it's always good to learn. And obviously I can tell you're being earnest and sincere. And maybe I can take these hints on board. Mm. So is that what women are looking for? So if I grab a woman's bottom that I'm currently intimate with, am I meant to say, oh, it's so wobbly like jelly? Is that what I meant to say?
I mean, you can try it. Let us know how it goes.
And I'll call you on the phone and I'll say, you won't believe it. That squishmallow has just walked straight out the door.
What, have you got a thank you or no thank you today?
So mine might be controversial. Mm. I want to say a big no thank you.
I hate when you do that. A no thank you to when you do.
To shoelaces.
Oh.
Why aren't they elastic?
Or you can Velcro. Just get Velcro shoes, you know.
Velcro shoes. I'm not going bowling every day.
Well, you can if you've got such an issue tying your shoelaces. Mm. They do have issues these days staying tied, don't they?
But also, why have we never, it's one of those things that they've been around forever, but why are you against my elastic idea?
Oh.
So it still look, because I find the look of laces quite cool.
Yes.
But what about the self-tying ones, like on Back to the Future? How come we never got those?
Because never got hoverboards either.
Yeah, that sucks too.
No thank you to not having hoverboards.
Yeah. Why don't we just have elasticated shoes? When the kids are toddlers, they often have laces that are elasticated. I just thought about it and I've taken it on board.
Yeah, but your stance is always when I say an idea, you just go, no.
Because it's 9 times out of 10 dumb.
To be fair,
but
that
today,
is true.
It was a good idea.
Hey.
Thank you.
I've got a quick no thank you to unsupportive co-hosts who their stock standard response is, no, you're dumb.
131060, what do you want to say thank you or no thank you to?
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little for your Thursday afternoon, and we're doing this.
When there's something in your life that you really like, you say thank you.
Thank you.
But if there's something going on that can take a hike, you say no thank you.
No thank you.
No thank you.
Carrie and Tommy's thank you or no thank you.
Electricity generated by Australian natural gas is an important backup for renewables to help deliver reliable electricity.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nikita. What do you want to say thank you or no thank you to?
Well, I actually just wanted to let Tommy know that you can buy elastic shoelaces.
Oh, Nikita. Really?
Yeah, you can.
We're like, Why have I guess I've never been to a shoelace shop. There's no shoelaces shops.
No shoelaces shop.
Do I get them online or do I just
Yeah, you can get them online or there's a shop called The Tribe, I think it's called.
Yeah.
It's a kids' shoe shop. They sell them as well.
Nikita, I'm worried that
Thank
I'm going
you
to...
Is what you're wanting to say?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I was going to. You just cut me off. Thank you, Nikita.
No, you're welcome.
Do people ever say to you, hand me my Nikita back, Matt?
Yes, all the time.
Yeah.
Thanks, Nikita.
Thanks.
We go to Carly. G'day, Carly.
Yeah.
What do you want to say?
Well, also, you can get elastic shoelaces from Kmart.
Oh, there you go. They're everywhere.
Yes, I have them on a few of my shoes.
That's wonderful.
But, my no thank you is surcharges on Sundays and public holidays. I feel like if you can't afford to have your business open and pay your staff, then don't be open. Like, just ridiculous surcharges of like 15% or 20%. Just crazy, I reckon.
But, I mean, Carly, I can't even focus on the issue because Carrie's upset with you and I'm sorry.
I'm only upset because I'm sure you're new to this segment, Carly, but it's thank you with an F, not a T-H.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Carly.
It's the little things, but it is a segment.
It
you know?
Started because, Carly, when we started when we were doing our show from London, and so it was thank you or no thank you. But we've
no
since,
thank you. There's no thank you.
Carly, I love you again. Now let's get to the issue. Yes, Tommy.
So what about, though, on the flip side of that, Carly, you're saying if the business can't afford to, they shouldn't be open. The flip side of that is if you can't afford to pay the surcharge of the meal, why are you going?
I suppose, but like, I don't know. I just feel like on a Sunday when you go out for breakfast with your family and it's like 15% extra on top of what you're already paying when it's like $30 for bacon and eggs already.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know.
Yeah, no thank you, you reckon, Carly.
Can I
have a question about the elastic shoelaces? How do they all get in the holes?
What do you mean?
Like, as in, are they...
You just,
see, the thing...
I would have thought, and Carly...
You thread them like a normal
little,
lace.
Yeah.
Like little straight elastics that go straight across the holes.
Oh, it's not one.
And they're individual straight bits, and they're different sizes so that they fit across the holes accordingly.
So I thought
it would be one long elastic.
But then you'd have to tie it up, right? But then it might come undone like a normal lace.
No, because I thought you could then just put a tie at the top of your shoe to stop it going through the eyelet. I'm going to use that word.
Oh,
and so then once it's all through,
it doesn't unthread.
Yeah.
Mm, okay.
Interesting.
Kaz, thoughts?
Hey, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Pretty good.
Oh my gosh, I did it. I just did it.
I know.
After being upset with Carly,
chuck the accent
I just did
on.
It.
Do it with the accent.
No, thank you. No, thank you to me. Kaz, what do you want to say thank you to?
Sure. I want to say a big no thank you to Tommy.
What have I done, Kaz?
So my 9-year-old has a presentation that they need to do, like show us what they've been doing at the end of each term.
Yeah.
And last term, he decided to do a PowerPoint on the dick.
On the what?
The what?
The dick here that you spoke about ages ago on the radio.
What?
The bird.
Oh, the bird.
Oh, my God, even I forgot about it. Was that the noise you just played? Play it again.
Yes.
Oh, that's
what a wonderful
so
child.
Funny.
And I'm sure you're
oh, my God,
you know,
is that your biological son?
You're saying,
we finally just found out who it is.
You're saying that it's no thank you, but
are you
slightly proud of your son's humour?
Well, yes, I was because he was so excited to show me. He's like, Mum, I've got this PowerPoint that I want to show you at this, you know, learning celebration thing. And I sat there, I'm like, yeah, right, just show me. And when he sat down, he's like, it's the dick dick. I'm like, oh, my God, honey. I've never listened to you. The teacher had to approve it and everything. Oh. Like, it's not like as if he did it on the fly.
I mean, I think in the scheme of dick dick presentations, that is down the most innocent end, Kaz.
Carrie and Tommy.
Yes, that is where you're at for your Thursday afternoon. It's time for this.
It's the best competition in radio.
This is the best competition you've ever had.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, my God.
Carrie and Tommy's time game.
Oh, mate, you make our dreams come true.
All you need to do is say stop.
Stop.
On exactly 5 seconds. And doing just that. Exactly that. Could change your life forever.
because today the time game has jackpotted to
$100,000.
Gary and Tommy's $100,000 time game.
Not for the faint at heart, Bickmore.
Absolutely not. Jacinta, are you of the faint at heart?
Oh, no, I'm so nervous. Oh, my gosh.
Why? Jacinta, the stakes are so low. It's just if you win, it's $100,000, and if you lose, you plummet to your death. That's fine.
Oh, my God, I don't want to do that.
What are you going to do with the cash if you win, Jacinta?
I'm going to put it straight on the house that we have purchased and share it with my lovely co-workers.
Share it with your co-workers.
Yeah, that's the girls at work. We're in it together.
What
if you quit?
What? Hold on.
Oh, no.
We've got a time gang syndicate going on.
Did you get your house, Jacinta?
We just found out yesterday, so it's very exciting.
Amazing.
Jacinta, but I'm sorry, I've got so many questions. What industry do you work in?
I work for an electrical company.
How long have you been there?
2 years tomorrow.
And you've bought a house together.
No, they've not bought a house with the people at work.
No,
she's bought the house
my
separately,
partner.
And then she's going to, for some dumb reason, give cash to her co-workers.
I'm so glad we cleared that up. I thought you'd been working in a job for 2 years. Hey, guys, this office is a vibe.
It's a vibe you want to be a part of.
How about we take it on home as well? I honestly thought that. Sorry, Jacinta. My other 100 questions have vanished.
I still think it's very lovely that she is going to take the 100K that at the moment with house prices could easily go on the house and take some of it off to give to her co-workers.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm still stuck on the idea of
them all living together.
Yeah, her having Barry from accounts down in the next room.
He'd help with the mortgage repayment, so he'd be good. Yeah. Jacinta, you know how this works. We're going to hand you over to Jesse. You just say stop at exactly 5 seconds and the 100K is you and your co-workers' money.
Thank you.
Okay.
Start.
Ooh, that felt quick for mine. Just
felt pretty good for me.
Did it?
I did realise, though, if they are in a syndicate, it means we're not just kicking Jacinta out the moon door. How many co-workers in the syndicate, Jacinta?
It's just myself and two other lovely ladies.
Three of you to go.
How many? Oh, you're only wearing two shoes because, of course, you've only got 2 feet. I told you.
But they stand in a line.
Extra boot.
Oh,
every
sorry.
Day I tell you that.
I can help out.
Three. You're going to kick?
Yeah, I can. Okay. I mean, she does seem lovely, but I can. I don't know the
kick
others.
Her. Kick
I don't
one
know
of the
others.
Yeah. How did Jacinta go for $100,000?
4.85.
G'day,
so
Hannah.
Hello.
Some jobs have just opened up at an electrical company, if you're interested, Hannah. How are you?
I am so nervous right now.
Okay, then
I am good.
Then we won't chat to you. You know the rules. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Start.
Stop.
Oh, with gusto.
Oh, I stop.
Yeah, I liked it. And I was thinking stop in my head at the exact same time, Hannah.
It was like,
I'm in.
Was very excited about playing the time game.
Hannah, we've still got you.
Oh, my God, thank you.
No, that's
don't
okay.
Swear just again, don't swear again, though, because if you swear again, we're in big trouble.
Even when you plummet to your death, please don't swear. Hannah, let's just find out, have you won $100,000?
4.52.
I know, to be fair, I'd be nervous about what to say there.
Yeah, I would too.
Dylan, how are you?
I'm good. I'm nervous too.
Okay, you can't swear, Dylan, because we've already had one swear word. Then we'll be off air. Okay. What are you putting the cash towards?
It's going to go to a house that we're building.
Amazing.
Started a new life. Yeah, got a 1-year-old boy, so it'll help.
And did you buy the house with all your co-workers?
No, definitely not.
Okay.
Are you
ready to go, Dylan?
I'm ready.
Start.
Felt a tad on long. The long side
me
for
too.
Me.
I felt a little long.
That's all right. It's better to feel a little long. Let's find
put him out.
Out
of his misery.
Okay,
Jesse.
Sure.
6.38.
Oh,
back
four jackpots.
Tomorrow.
Gary and Tommy.
That is where you're at for your Thursday afternoon. $100,000 on the line every day when we play the time game, guys.
Ooh, yeah. And because we have someone coming up on the show who kept a secret from us and kept it very well. And we are going to ask that man about that secret. But up next, I had a rendezvous that has ended, I believe, in a theft.
Oh.
I'll tell you about it next.
Gary and Tommy. Gary and Tommy.
For your Thursday afternoon, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. And recently we caught up with an international star and they kept something from us. We're going to catch up with them and find out what it was very soon.
Sneaky little secret keeper.
So, I don't know if I'm in the right or wrong here. But either way, I'm down a possession.
Okay.
So, I had a small gathering, a business meeting, let's call it, at my house late the other night. There was a bunch of us, and like any business meetings, there was loud music and some people were playing Buck Hunter. There was a bit of drinking going on. Anyway,
Oh, my God. I actually thought you were having a business meeting.
Just why?
That was a joke.
Why?
Because you said I was having a business meeting at my house, and so I was like, okay.
Why would I have a business
meeting? When you got to the Buck Hunter bit, I'm like,
why would I have a business meeting at my house?
Because you have an office, so I thought maybe that's where you do your business.
He does have an office at his house.
The office that only got used because my dog crapped in it 3 times.
Okay, you don't go to an office, so I thought maybe you have some of your meetings. I don't know, about your book, new book you're bringing out or your... I don't know, other jobs. I don't know.
Sorry.
I thought you were having a business
Tommy's
meeting.
Never in meetings. Yeah. Never.
Sorry.
Anyway, also late at night. That should have been a flag too. Anyway, I'm on board now. This you were having a party.
This
at your
is
house.
A reader competence thing. Yes, I was having a party at my house. And it was all going well. Everyone was having a great time. And one of the business meetings with one particular person went later than the party.
You hooked up with one of your workers.
Hello, HR. there's no HR at this company.
Was she from accounts? Was she where? She from?
And the next morning, she sent me a message. And it's the first time. She's a new business associate. Oh,
this is a terrible metaphor. You need to stop.
Now talking real terms. You had a party. Yeah, you had a girl stay over. And then what happened to the girl?
There was quite a few people that I didn't know there. So I didn't know this person well. And it was she was.
You're not making it any better, is he?
The new employee.
Stop.
Stop using the worker employee reference. It's
and
weird.
It was her first day on the job.
That makes it really weird.
Because did you pay this woman?
No.
Weirdly. Can I say what's also weird?
I'm not the boss.
Can I tell you what's also weird? So just today we also have watching our show a whole bunch of people outside filming it there. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, you can be in one of these business meetings too soon.
Oh, no.
And so anyway, she left in the morning and because I'm the – I always stick around at work the longest because it's my house.
And so what's your role at this company?
Vibe. So then she left and let herself out because I – had work to do.
What happened? Get to the story.
So then she sent me a message and she said, hey, thanks so much for the book. You left it on my bag. So I'm assuming it was me. That's lovely.
What book did you give her?
I didn't give her anything.
Work manual?
No. Minutes from the meeting.
No, everyone.
Just 1 minute, thanks.
Everyone had just piled their stuff. When they came in the door, they had just piled their stuff on one of my couches, right? And I must have at some point thrown a new book that I've just started reading. It was quite good. And I just had thrown it there when I was tidying stuff off the bench, right?
Oh, you threw it on her handbag just by accident?
I didn't mean to.
What was the book?
Oh, I don't even know what it's called.
But what was it about?
It was about realizing your potential.
Oh, a true business book.
Well, it kind of actually was.
It is,
This is the only time where I'm not speaking.
The metaphor's back on.
Maybe it was a business meeting.
Heard a take.
It was a business meeting.
But also, how funny Okay, first of all, before we get to the point of whether she was meant to take it or not, how funny that she's thinking you've left her a book that says realizing your potential after you've had a night.
Yeah, you've had a brilliant first day on the job, but I reckon you need to realize your potential.
You can do better.
And she said, yeah, you know, thanks. I'm assuming because it was on my bag. It was for me. And I thought, why? Why would I? Why? We've only just met. Why would I be giving you a realizing?
So you did not give her this book. You accidentally left
her
there. But
also, if I was going to give her a book, I would say, hey, I got you a book, which is impossible because I've only just met you.
But to be fair.
And I met you at midnight and there's no bookshops open.
But to be fair, if you go to get your handbag and there's a book being placed on it, you'd probably think it was for you.
In the bag or on the bag?
No, I don't even remember. So I definitely didn't put it in. I would have just flung it.
But what if it fell in?
But also, even if it's on, if someone's left something on your handbag, you assume it's for you to take.
No, this was a couch that had other people's, like people threw their jackets on it and stuff.
Oh,
like,
thanks for the jacket.
Yeah, yeah. I took a
cushion.
Thanks
for your dog.
Yeah, thanks.
I think you're being a bit unfair. I think she's just
you've
left her a book.
After just meeting someone hours ago, they've given
you,
a book.
Did you chat about like life or meeting your potential?
In their meeting.
Or
that's the one thing with
Did they chat? I reckon it's probably a good question.
That's the one thing with my business meetings. No chit chat.
No doggy doggy.
You said talky talky. Yeah, I thought you said something.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Anyway, 13,
so
10,
what do you want to know?
I want to know
whether she should have taken your book or not.
No, I want to know what did. Oh, how do I use the analogy?
What did your employees steal from your house? But not
when
your
you're
employee.
Hooked up with someone, what did they take from you? Give us a call, 131060.
Carrie and Tommy. It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Lynn. We're talking business meetings.
Yeah.
Real professional stuff.
Yeah. What when you have a late night
rendezvous.
Yes.
What did they then steal?
Yes. Because I somehow through I had a bunch of people around at my house. Someone stayed, and the next morning they sent me a message saying, hey, thanks so much for the book. It was placed on my bag. And so I assume it's for me. And I'm like, there was a bookmark in it, 20 pages in.
Did you say, no, it wasn't for you?
No, I said, no worries.
And now you had to go buy another
book. Can't
wait
to see you at the next meeting.
There's never going to be a next meeting.
No, I didn't say that.
Justin. But when once she reaches her full potential, though.
Hey,
once she reaches her full potential,
true.
Though.
I'll see you at the very earliest at the next AGM.
Justin, how are you?
Not bad. How are you guys?
Very yes, good. What's your yarn?
Well, this is about a mate of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Hooked up with this Sheila.
Mm-hmm.
And the next morning he woke up and noticed that she'd made herself some breakfast, took one of his jumpers and stole his spare house keys.
Oh, my God.
So he had to spend the time to
he's got a wife.
Change all the locks.
Oh,
wow.
Has he not? I assume that was because she was expecting just to be welcomed back at any time.
I'm not sure what she was planning, but he actually didn't even meet her at the nightclub or anything. He actually met her at the 7-Eleven. She was stealing pies and stuff.
That's so
he must
funny.
Have been shocked when she continued her ways.
Good on you, Justin.
Oh, it's the best.
Oh, hey, Ebony.
Sorry.
Hey,
it's just
guys.
Like,
how it, are you?
Also, I never so knew 7-Eleven was a hookup spot.
But also, isn't that just a modern-day notebook? You know when you just see someone stuffing pies down their pants to steal from 7-Eleven? You're like,
that's the love of my life.
That's my person.
Hey, Ebony.
How you going, guys?
Good. Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I had a Tinder hookup come over, and we had a great time, whatever. And then he left, and when he left, he took my mobile phone out my cupboard, and I didn't notice because I've got two phones. So this one wasn't being used; it was in the cupboard. And he had gone to the petrol station, and he'd put fuel in his car, and then went inside and said he didn't have his money, like he'd left his money at his girlfriend's house. Can he leave his phone here?
Oh,
my God.
And then come back and pay. And they said, who's your girlfriend? So he gave them my name. And then the next time I went in to pay for fuel, like a week later, my phone was still there. And the message had kind of changed at the petrol station. And the guy actually said to me, oh, your son's left his phone here and you need to pay for stuff. And
oh
I was
God,
like,
purple.
I was like, what?
But hold on, Ebony. Okay, so two things. When you were yep. with him that night and it was a great night, were there any red flags that this dude was weird?
No. Look, had a bit to drink.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. No, it's okay. I just was.
No, no. It all checked out.
Were you going to see him again, and were you messaging him not knowing that he'd done this dodgy thing?
No, wasn't planning on seeing him again.
Right. Okay.
Did you message him afterwards? After you, realised what he'd done?
I did, yeah. And he was like, to tell you about that.
I meant to tell you about that.
I meant to tell me, just forgot, right?
Oh, Ebony. Yeah. Wow.
So, but it was super awkward because the guy behind the counter holds up my phone and I was like, oh, yeah, that's my phone. Like,
And you got a son as well.
Yes. And their names are very similar, right? So this guy had left his name. He'd said, Harley, but my son's name's Harvey. And so I get home and blast my son for going and racking up stuff at the petrol station. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then the penny dropped and I was like, oh shit.
What a story. Good on you, Ebony.
Can he stuff some pies down his pants while he was there?
What about Mick? Hey, Mick.
Hello. Hey, guys. How you going?
Good. What happened to you?
So I had been out on the town with a couple of mates and found what I thought was a nice, lovely lady.
Yes.
So we decided to go back to my house and all was good. Woke up the next morning. The girl I thought had just let herself out, but I'd also lost my dog.
No.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So she'd woken up and decided, but luckily I'll cut it there. Like she did bring the dog back.
Oh, did she just take your dog for a walk?
She took it for a doggy date with her dog, she said.
Oh, I can't
process any of this. Have you seen her again, Mick?
Other than when she brought the dog back, no, I haven't seen her again.
That's
that was a bit much
so
for me.
Weird.
Did you call her and you said, have you taken my dog?
Well, so I woke up and thought maybe he'd just gotten out. I was frantically looking around.
Aww.
Like, yeah. And then at about 11 o'clock in the morning, I heard the front gate rustle and there she is with my dog.
Right? See, this is why I've always said it. You can trust dogs, but you can't trust women.
Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home from 3 till 6, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
And, of course, the Melbourne International Comedy Festival is coming very quickly to an end because only a few more days to catch my show. Tommy Little has a regular-sized deck. It is on at the Comedy Theatre. I'd love to see you there.
You put on some new shows, haven't you?
Yes. Saturday night is already sold out, so we put on an extra show Saturday afternoon at the sensible time of 4 p.m., a matinee. If you're interested, I'd love to see you there.
Now, our next guest, I've heard of funny moments when you're breastfeeding, but what happened to our next guest? I don't know how this would happen when you're breastfeeding. We're going to ask her all about it when we chat to her next.
Carrie and Tommy.
Across the country for your drive home, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Now, if you're on the joyous roller coaster ride that is parenthood,
yes.
I think you are going to love our next guest. She's author of the book Pardon My French, was about her year spent in France with her young family. She's now got a new book out called Mothering Heights. Her name is Rachel Mogan McIntosh, and she joins us now. Welcome, Rachel.
Hi, thank you.
Okay, so I love everything about this. I love that you call yourself a survivor because I don't know how else to describe how you feel once you've got through the first 5 years of motherhood.
pretty bedraggled, I would say.
Pretty bedraggled. You had three kids under five. How old are your kids now?
Well, now they're 17, 15 and 12.
Amazing.
So the
book your work's
kind
done,
of
yeah?
Ducks through both eras. Yeah, it's all right. It's fine now, Carrie. no dramas at all.
Rachel, this question will sound rude, but I promise I don't mean it to be.
I've been to the doctor. They said it's nothing, Tommy. It's not contagious. It's just a rash.
I always, and this is a lot of my friends included, they have their first child and they go, oh, gosh, I thought I was prepared. It's way harder than anything I ever imagined. And then they have two more. Why? Why do you keep doing it?
I don't know. It's like nature's Rohypnol or something. You sort of just forget and then you go again. I think, I mean, I really limped through my final pregnancy. I had like a really terrible back problem and that was what sort of stopped us from having any more. Otherwise, I think we would have had a couple more.
Oh, my God. Whoa. You're insane. Rachel, what I love about this book is it goes through everything from just what life is with three young kids, you know, the housework, the work, you know, saying goodbye to your old identity, saying hello to the new one, and just trying to do all of it, but with a sense of humour. And there is a sense of humour about the way you tell the stories and trials and tribulations of parenthood. Can you give us some of those moments that we can look to see in the book, some moments that happened in your life that really sum up your family and what raising kids was like?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I guess my brain immediately goes to, like, physical injury. Like, I broke my toe slipping in a puddle of wee on the floor when one of the kids pushed the other one off the toilet when I was toilet training, and they both started screaming. I don't even know who weed on the floor, but I came flying in and broke my toe and I limped around. And I think it may also have been around the same time that I broke a rib breastfeeding.
Oh, my God. How do you do that?
I don't know. It's like a special skill. I sort of moved my arm on a chair and bounced, and bounced my rib when I was trying to move the baby. So, yeah, it's a full contact sport, motherhood, you know. It really is.
Right.
But just so much comedy always, even when things got really tough and dark. They're just hilarious small children. They really are.
They are. Rachel, you are a mother, obviously, and also a professional, obviously. I don't know if you saw Lily Allen, the singer, what she said about a month ago now. She said that her children ruined her career. She said she loves them and they complete me, but in terms of pop stardom, totally ruined it. She said, it's a myth that you can have it all, and it's lovely that people think that, but it's just not true. Do you believe that? Is it impossible as a mother to be able to do and have it all?
I guess it's how you conceptualize having it all. Like, I don't think anybody can have it all. I think there's this Korean proverb that says life is a thousand joys and a thousand sorrows. And I think we all just get thrown, you know, helpings of both. And sometimes you're up and sometimes you're down. And in terms of work, like, there's this old phrase I used to say, the pram in the hall, that was, you know, the enemy of art or of writing or whatever. But for me, I feel like it is always a struggle trying to fit things around being a mum, and it is being in service all the time to other people. You're always getting pulled out of your professional self into that other self. But I feel like both aspects of my life kind of enrich the other. Like, being a mum makes it, you know, makes me a better writer, and being a writer and trying to carve out time for myself to do those things makes me a better mum. So they're in conflict, but they're not necessarily at war,
yeah,
if you know what I mean.
Yes, yes, it makes sense. When you mentioned, you said a Korean proverb, I thought, oh, this is going to be something lovely. And that was the most depressing thing ever.
No, I think it's beautiful.
A thousand joys and a thousand sorrows. Sure, you should aim to have a bigger ratio of joy than sorrow.
Well, why did you just tune into the sorrows, though, Tommy?
No, because it was the same number. Like, I understand that life is full of moments of ups and downs, but surely... Yes. We should aim for more than equal.
Well, come up with your Aussie proverb then.
Life is full of thousands of joys and there's a couple of shitbits.
I always think of the working and the parenting is kind of like a seesaw. Like, you can do both and do both really well, but it's rare that they both happen beautifully at the same time. Like, one's always up and one's always down. So, like, stuff's always
better.
Something's always happening at work that's dragging your attention there. The family life is still going along. It's just, you know, for want of a better word, being neglected for a moment. And then the next week it could be the other way and you're dragged, you know, further into the motherhood role, and work just sort of limps by for a little bit. Like, it's possible to do it. It's just not possible to do both at 100% all the time because you're only one person. Like, it's impossible.
You are. There's definitely phases to them. I mean, I think in the book, at some point, I just describe it as just being a series of failing at things, you know, in alternate moments.
I know, you just feel so shit about yourself so much of the time, don't you? No, you do. There's times where you're like, I'm just not good at my job and not good at a parent. What am I good at?
I think that's true. And it's almost like a hidden secret that everybody feels like that. Like nobody has the answer. Well, Gwyneth maybe has the answer, but nobody else has the answer, you know. We're all just kind of, you know, fumbling through.
Hey, Rachel, we'd love to pick your brain a bit more about how motherhood has changed through the generations. Can you stick around?
We'll have more with author Rachel Mogan McIntosh up next.
Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy for your Thursday afternoon. We are still joined by author Rachel Mogan McIntosh.
I was speaking to a friend whose daughter was like, I think she'd just finished school, and she said, oh, I'm going to be a young mum. And she was like, oh, okay, that's cool. What's made you want to do that? And she said, the Kardashians. She said, like, they're hot. They're young mums, they look cool. And I was like, what a point of reference to, like, as in the idea that that's your motivation is because what you've seen on Instagram is them looking young and hot and cool. And so that's your motivation to have kids young. Like, I mean, I think this book probably needs to go into her hands because the reality of it is it's not even just a little bit different to that. It's so far from that. It's like, God, we got a long way to go. Like, how do you know what I mean? Like, it's not even just a different to what you're seeing. It's completely different to what you're seeing.
No, it's completely different. And there's something then to be said about being a bit older then when you go into motherhood because you're less, I think, shocked or it's less of a huge wrench to kind of give yourself up so totally when suddenly you've got this thing in your arms that for infinity, you know, years you have to then be in service to. It's quite a shock when you come, you know, to that from just being a person, you know, only in charge of your own, you know, wee schedule. All of a sudden you're like 24 hours in service to another person. And it takes like, you know, massive selflessness and you know, a capacity to cope with a lot of, you know, rage and sorrow and anxiety to do that. And I think if I had tried to do that when I was like a young tearaway, I would have found it really hard.
Rachel, being a mum, from what I've observed, is the hardest job in the world because it never ends. You don't get paid. And the second hardest job, from what I've observed, is being an author because it never ends and you don't get paid. Why did you not pick something easier?
Well, for both of them, you don't have to put a bra on. That was probably my driving motivation.
Hey, Rachel, one of the things I would say, because I've got a 16-year-old but then a 5-year-old, so I feel like I've parented in two different decades, and this is such a simple thing that's going to sound ridiculous, but you know the thing I've noticed is one of the most overwhelming differences is the level of communication from all of the institutions and schools and things that your child's involved in. I think one of the most overwhelming parts is the WhatsApp, the emails, the messages from every single thing that your child participates in, because the pressure now on all those groups to make sure they keep you up to date, to make sure, you know, they're accountable for everything so they don't get parents yelling down their door, means that, you know, you put out a message on WhatsApp saying, can anybody let me know if they can't come to the party? And 25 people say, yes, I can, which wasn't what the question was. And then you've got a phone that's just going bing, 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 bing for class WhatsApp.
So true.
But I feel like all of that adds to the noise that means it's hard to be present, but it also just feels like this constant like choke around your neck, like this overwhelming sense of I can actually never be on top of it ever. I can never clear out an inbox because a second later there's something else coming into it.
Yeah, that's so true, isn't it? That stream of data that is actually a tide that you can't contain, you can't satisfy, you know, the needs of completing that ever. It does all serve to make you feel like you're in chaos and not quite finishing the job. It was a lot quieter actually 10 years ago when the kids were smaller.
Which I guess some people would argue constantly. Perhaps was more lonely too, because now you've got connection and groups to join.
God, it's tricky.
But yes, I agree. Anyway, there's so much more we could chat to you about. We can't keep talking, but people should read your book and they can enjoy all the things you have to say, Rachel. Mothering Heights, A Year of Joy and Survival in the Trenches of Early Parenthood is out now. Follow Rachel at Mogan Tosh. Is that how I'd say it? Mogan Tosh.
Yep, Mogan Tosh, yep.
Gosh, 1.3 million followers, Rachel. You're onto something.
1.3 thousand. That's not me. Unless something has happened really dramatically.
Oh, my God.
Which maybe it has. Who knows?
We're going to get you there, Rachel.
What power do you have, Carrie? That's amazing.
I don't even have the power for myself to get there.
Thanks so much, Rachel.
I'm sweating. Thanks, guys. So lovely to talk to you.
You too.
Thanks,
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye. Carrie and
Tommy. Oh, is that a circular saw I see over there? Because
are we still doing the tool references?
Are you on the tools?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Ashanti and Nelly,
yes,
who are engaged, are expecting their first child together.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Well done.
Hopefully it's always on time. Yeah. Anyway,
Are you okay?
Yeah. I didn't realize, and I know I'm going to tell some of you something.
Because you know there's
a
doctor that's there. No, it doesn't matter.
Oh, give it to us. Go on. I've given it. You give it now. Anyway, okay. I didn't realize their love story. So they first met at the 2003 Grammy Awards press conference, and then they dated for a decade before calling it quits in 2013. But then 10 years later, in April 23, they sparked reconciliation rumours while sitting ringside at a boxing match in Vegas. And then after a few months of secretly dating, Nelly came out and said, yeah, we're back together. And now fast forward a few months, they're engaged, and Nelly, 49, Ashanti, 43, are expecting their first kid together.
Wow.
Sorry, Nelly's fifth, Ashanti's first. Just a clarification.
Sorry, it's still lovely.
It is.
It is still lovely. It's just funny because it made it sound like their childhood sweethearts that have almost never been with anyone else.
I know.
And then you're like, by the way, he's got 17 other kids.
So let's get a bit of, are we going to play Nelly or Ashanti? How about some Ashanti?
This is Ashanti, always on time. To get to the good stuff faster, start at budgettrucks.com.au. Carrie and Tommy. Driving you home from 3 till 6, it is Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
I'll tell you what. A man who can definitely keep a secret, Bickers, because he hoodwinked us. We saw him. It must have been just days before he went into the I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here jungle, and we had no idea. We're, of course, talking about the wonderful Stephen K. Amos. G'day, Stephen.
Good day, Carrie and Tommy. I'm so sorry that I couldn't divulge when I saw you just a mere few weeks ago what I was actually planning on doing. But it's great to be here to talk to you.
It is lovely to have you. It has also been lovely to see you on our screens. How unusual an experience. Like, I know you from over the years, but I would have no idea. If I guessed, I would have said camping was not your thing.
You are absolutely right, Tommy. Camping is not my thing. I'm a man who tends to wear three-piece suits. I don't own a tent. Sleeping on the ground is not my thing at all. The great outdoors does not work well with me. I like a door. I like four walls. I like a roof. All the simple things in life, you know?
How did you find it then, your time in the jungle? Was it hard or did you like it? What was the most groundbreaking thing for you in there?
I'll be honest, the most groundbreaking thing for me was to be on radio silence, to not have my phone, and it made me realize how much we all rely on our phones on a daily basis, scrolling through, watching nonsense, checking emails on a regular basis, to have no contact with the outside world, not to mention your family and friends. But to be forced to be in a situation where you have to get to know complete strangers, it was actually breathtaking. It was such an unusual experience and one that I'm very, very pleased to have taken part in.
Stephen, I don't know if this was meant to make me emotional, but it did. You learning to swim, you were never able to swim before, and then you learning to swim in the water in the jungle, weirdly felt a sense of pride, but I also felt it made me emotional. Was it an amazing thing to do and something that I'm assuming if you get to this point and you don't know how to swim, did you ever think you would learn?
Thank you, Tommy. I do appreciate that. That means a lot. coming from a good friend for all these years. Swimming was never in my remit. I live in inner city South London. I don't live near the sea. I don't live near a river. I've got a little creek behind my house. That's about it. My house has been flooded once over the years. But, you know, at my age, I never thought in a million years that I would be in a situation where I'd have to learn to swim. I thought, you know what, Steve, just take it. You're a man now of a certain age. I don't need to learn a new language. I don't need to learn a new skill. But you know what? When you're in a jungle like that in Africa, and you've got all these supreme athletes, including a Paralympic gold medal winning swimmer, I mean, it's rude not to, right?
Hey, Stephen, I loved that your chosen charity was Banksia Palliative Care Service. I don't think anyone can understand until they've experienced the work of palliative care nurses what angels they truly are and just how absolutely they make the difference between a horrible end of life and a somewhat slightly tiny bit better end of life for somebody. Why was it so important for you to have them as your chosen charity?
I think you're so right, Carrie, and it's one of those issues and charities and sectors that nobody talks about until you need them. And let's face it, every one of us knows someone or has a connection with someone who does have a life-limiting condition. And it doesn't discriminate in terms of age, religion, sex, creed, none of that. From small children to young children to young adults to the elderly. And I experienced that, and I'm ashamed to say that I didn't think of palliative care until it came at the point I needed them in my life. And these people, as you rightly say, they are angels because they don't look at it as the end of life. They look at it as the quality of life, and to help the person going through whatever condition it may be to have a nice is not even the right word, to have a more comfortable way out. And also they look so carefully after the people, their loved ones who are left behind. And what I found more inspiring is that most of the people who work in palliative care are volunteers because they've had experience of it.
When you said you didn't know about it until you needed it, you're not talking about yourself, you're talking about your beautiful mum and your twin sister who both have passed away. Would your mum have ever have imagined that her son Stephen would be going in a jungle?
Absolutely not, Harry. You know, they would be looking down at me from wherever they are. Throughout the jungle, I saw white butterflies, which for me is always a sign. Oh. You know how we always look for something that will comfort us? Everywhere I turned, there was a white butterfly. I confided with Skye with that. And every time she saw a white butterfly, she'd shout at me from wherever she was in the jungle, Stephen, there's a white butterfly. Oh. Your sister's here. And oh, my goodness. What heartwarming. Like, that woman is so beautiful, so pure, and made my stay in the jungle so much more bearable.
Stephen, you've always been an amazing comic, and I've always admired your work. I didn't realise quite the extent of personal loss that you had in your life recently, and I thought to myself when I was watching you very emotionally talk about it on the show, I thought, wow, I admire you even more, because even when you have such heavy things in your life, you are traveling the world and making people laugh and bringing them joy. And you do have some more shows coming up in Australia from April 26th up in Brisbane. That's right. Have I got that right? Oh, please tell me I've got that
you
right.
You have got that right. Yes,
great.
I'm heading straight to Brisbane after this and then going all over Australia. And you're right. You know what it's like, Tommy. You know, we go out there and we want to make people laugh and bring joy into people's hearts and their lives. And you've got to park your own personal things that are going on in your life, park them at the door, and then continue with the job.
Yeah, well, you're fantastic at it. And like I said, I've always loved your work. So make sure you can see Stephen K.A. Moss coming to a town near you. And of course, I'm a Celebrity. Get Me Out of Here. He's back tonight at 7:30 on Channel 10. Stephen K.A. Moss, love you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie and Tommy. Love you guys. See you soon.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on socials at Carrie Tommy Show.
Bye.
Bye.